For the call to worship. Blessed are those who consider the poor. The Lord delivers them in the day of trouble.
The Lord protects them and keeps them alive.
They are called blessed in the land.
You do not give them up to the will of their enemies.
The Lord sustains them on their sickbed. In their illness, you heal all their infirmities. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me.
Heal me, for I have sinned against you.
Good morning, everybody. No more children out there. Not my little people that aren't even awake. No, last day. Okay. Well, this should be an easy message to share, but I don't know why. It's just been really tough to get my arms around that. I've been praying about it, and then I looked up this morning, and there it is. Look at that banner that's in the back. Look at the top. Start a chain reaction of love and kindness. Isn't that perfect? Because that's what we're talking about today, is the verse that we'll read the gospel lesson later talks about an amazing act of generosity and kindness. Can you tell me something this week, Dawson, that you did was either kind or generous? Did you do something this week?
I don't know.
Dee, your mother's going to get you one of these days. Brighton, tell us about your Tuesday day. Okay, well, Brighton was kind of my example that got us started, because on Tuesday, I was his substitute teacher, and he had a friend in his class that was not feeling well, and he was laying in the nurse's office trying to just relax, and Brighton came back to the classroom and got his book and took it to him in the nurse's office so that he could read while he was waiting to feel better. That was really awesome, and that was generous and kind, and that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. Hey, Princess E down there, did you do anything this week that was kind or generous? What did you do? Did you have something with a friend that you did, or for mommy? You let dad go with you to the dance. That was pretty kind. He doesn't get out much, does he? Did you teach him how to dance? That was probably pretty kind.
To limbo.
To limbo. Oh, good Lord. Hope there's pictures. Yeah, good for you. There's lots of people in our church that do lots of kind and generous things. You know what some of those things are? What do you help with? What's your favorite thing to do in the summer here at church? Good Lord. Okay. Bible school, that's an act of great generosity and kindness, way to share Jesus's love with everybody. Grandma Lindy and Deb Briggs and all those people work with the shelter and the community meal that's coming up on Saturday. Angie Briggs, sitting back there, coordinates the food pantry, works with the food pantry. What an awesome way to be kind and generous with our neighbors. And one of the things that we keep talking about is fruits of the Spirit, and you guys keep singing about them. And what are two fruits of the Spirit? Generosity and kindness, right? So this week, Dawson, since you couldn't really think of something, work extra hard this week to come up with something that you can do that's generous and kind. Can you do that this week? Okay. You don't know, you're pretty tired. Well, maybe you can have a nap this afternoon, and then you'll be ready to roll tomorrow. How about that? You'll be bowling? Okay, maybe after bowling. Okay, sit up. Let's pray. Let's do an echo prayer. Dear God, please be with us this week as we work to be kind and generous in all that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Please stand for the reading of our gospel. Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." So ends the reading. Please be seated.
This is the word of God. We, the people of God, let us say,
Thanks be to God.
God, these are hard words. Fill the soil of our hearts so that we can receive this with great joy. Cross. And Jesus is giving us opportunities to overcome the obstacles and opponents of the cross that we face. And today, the obstacle that we face is a formidable obstacle. It's greed. It's building up the self and taking away from others. It's pushing yourself up and putting others down. But as our kids know all too well, that it's no fun to have all the toys if you have no one to play them with, is it? And that's what happens to this rich man. He feasts sumptuously. He has fine linen and purple, the most expensive clothes, all the food he could want. And he's so focused on himself that he ignores the man who's literally at his gate on his doorstep, who doesn't even have the strength to get up, who is just hungry even for the slightest morsel, the slightest crumb that might fall. And even the dogs have pity on him and are licking his sores, his wounds. This rich man is lost in his own world, isn't he? Utterly consumed with his greed. He's similar from, remember back in Luke 12, when Jesus told another parable about the rich fool, where he says to us, he says, "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Because not all greed is just things that are green. But greed is where we're focused on ourselves and we're not thinking about others around us. We're distracted with ourselves or with our concerns or our worries instead of being devoted to Jesus and being a merciful neighbor to those around us. And so he talked about the rich fool, the guy who said he had a great crop. And he said, "What should I do? I have no place to store my crops." He says, "I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods." Everything's about him. "And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" And in our greed or in our wealth building, we can become quite comfortable, can't we? That we've taken care of all our necessities and we can begin to think about the luxuries. But at what cost? Because there's always impending judgment. Judgment could come at any time in our life. That when you have you set up an emergency fund, right? When you're saving up, it's not just that if there's an emergency, but when there's an emergency, right?
The car's going to break down. Well, here there's a dire emergency where Jesus warns them and says, you fool, God said to this person, this rich fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you've prepared, whose will they be? And so Jesus warns us. He said, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. And we know that Jesus has told us again and again in Luke that he comes to preach good news for whom? For the poor, right? And here's this rich man. He goes in, he feasts every day, wearing the finest of clothes, eating the greatest of delicacies, and he walks, maybe he even steps over this man, Lazarus, who doesn't even have the strength to stand up because he's suffering in so much agony and hunger. He's right there at his gate, and he just walks right past him. See, right before Jesus tells this parable in Luke 16, he gives another warning to us. He says, and turn with me to Luke 16, verse 12. And if you have not been faithful to what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one or love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. But you cannot serve God and wealth, or God and mammon, which was a name for a god that represented wealth. You know, on Wall Street today, there's that big golden bull. And now I see that there's a new statue, right? There's the little girl that's going like this in front of the bull. But that bull represents all the greed, all the wealth, all the power that people seek in ones and zeros, in dollars and cents, in currencies and commodities, all of that. Our whole world seems to be driven by this economy. But we know a different economy. We as Christians are called to be part of the economy of the kingdom of God. And that economy is not built upon greed and graft and corruption and bribery, is it? No. It's built upon those fruit of the Spirit that Angie mentioned to us earlier, teaching the kids. The kingdom of God runs on the economy of generosity and grace and kindness. That the treasure in the economy of the kingdom of God is not here on earth in our own little empires that we tried to build ourselves, or even an inheritance that we try to pass on, but it's in an eternal inheritance that is found in Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit for us, that we might be generous and give of ourselves and build relationships with our wealth to store up treasures in heaven. Amen? Amen. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I was thinking about, God, who are the people, who are the Lazarus today in our lives? Who are the people that we're completely blind to, that we walk right past and they're hurting, where the dogs are even would come lick their wounds, but we're oblivious? And I remember reading about, in some of the urban areas, they're passing laws that are prohibiting, like, churches from feeding the homeless. Or they're contacting architects and engineers to use their ingenuity to create these traps, ways on buildings where they put up spikes or they put up slopes to where the homeless can't even sleep outside. That there's like you walk by a Macy's or something and they have spikes on the ledges where people would sit to get out of the rain. That's how our world, our culture treats Lazarus at the doorstep. We try to push them aside, to ignore them, to not think about them because they make us look bad maybe. Or sometimes I think about when I've gone to nursing homes or retirement communities and you're there to see your loved one and you go in. But as you go in, right, there's always people that look at you with longing eyes, with a hunger and desperation for relationship or to be seen or to be loved. That maybe you're there to visit your loved one, but maybe they don't have a loved one who's come to visit them. And you get tunnel vision and you just go where you're going to go visit your loved one. But we walk right past Lazarus in the form of somebody who might be having their own like bed sores from neglect or feeling abandoned. See, we push away the Lazaruses in our culture. We walk right past them. And for what? To get what we think we want. Stuff. Things that we buy to make us feel powerful or that we think we need, that advertising and our commercial world tries to tell us that if you have this, you'll be full. No, you won't. You'll be empty. It's vanity, isn't it, to chase after that? But I'm so thankful that today is Encore Sunday, because as we heard, that's one of the great ways that we can be generous and kind. We can give of ourselves, not just our money or our wealth, but also our time. You know, there's great opportunities that we have in the conference for disaster relief training that people give of their time so that they can be prepared and ready. So when the time comes and God demands that they act, that they're not caught left with just a bunch of full barns and nothing to show for themselves, but they're ready to go into action and to help people in need. When communities like Cameron were hit by that tornado, they were too small to get relief from the state, right? Encore was there. They were the first ones in and they were the last ones to leave. And Encore was made of people who were from our conference, from our own district. I know several men from Aledo United Methodist Church that went and were on the ground and were ready because they were trained to do that. Maybe that's something that we can be mindful of, a way we can be generous, not just with opening our checkbooks, but thinking about how we can give our time to those who are in need, to those who can't help themselves in that moment, in that crisis. But one of the most sobering things that we hear from this story, and this is what I wanted us to end with, is that chasm. It's the part no one wants to hear about. Nobody wants to hear that there's judgment or there's consequences eternally for our lives. But our lives and the way that we treat people, the way that we manage our wealth, whether we do it to build ourselves up or we use it to build relationships with others, our actions today have eternal implications. That judgment day is coming, whether we're ready for it or not. And sometimes it comes in the present where we're alienated, when we miss opportunities to build relationships with people, to help people with our wealth. Or it's when we've died and we hear those words we don't want to hear. Away from me, I never knew you. But Lord, we did all these things in your name. I don't know who you are. And I'm so thankful for those moments where we get to go and Brighton goes at such an early age to the Humility of Mary shelter. And I get to look and see Jesus look me back in the eyes of those whom we serve. And to realize that none of us are immune to the storms of life. That most people are two paychecks unpaid away from being homeless or being out of work or having to go on some sort of entitlement program to get by. See, we are called to be generous and kind. But it's not just about using our wealth. That we have the gospel. And we know now that we are lost without God, amen? We're lost without Christ. And there are people in our lives who are spiritually hungry and are languishing with sores in their hearts and are trying to fill it with any other way they can. But only Jesus can meet that need. And you and I, we know Jesus. We have that eternal wealth and treasure in the kingdom of God in knowing Jesus Christ. And we didn't earn it. We can't earn it. But we can freely give him to others. So are there people who are spiritually like Lazarus in our lives? That are languishing in addictions. They're languishing in disappointment. They're suffering through tragedy. And maybe they've walked away from the church or they don't know. They've never met Jesus. We have to be generous and kind to share Christ with others. To see someone in need and to feel that nudge from the Holy Spirit that they need Jesus and we don't share that with them. We are stealing from the poor. We are committing spiritual cruelty and neglect. Because that rich man realized it was too late. And he finally saw a use for Abraham. He still treated him like an object. And he says he was died and buried, and in Hades, or hell, where he was being tormented, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Because while the poor in our time, in the present, and in history, may have suffered torment and neglect and abuse and suffered great anguish, Jesus will comfort them in heaven. They will not be agonized or alienated anymore, but the tables will turn. For those like the rich man, they will be the ones that will be in agony, where he cries out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham warns him, says, "Child, remember that during your lifetime, you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." And he says, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." He has a change of heart, but it's too late. He realizes that he focused on himself, and now his loved ones are going to die too to torment if they don't change or hear that good news. But it's too late. And Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They have God's law and teaching. They should listen to them." And he tries to bargain with him. He says, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes from the dead, they will repent." He said, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Tough words, isn't it? Now think about us. We don't just have Moses and the prophets. We have Christ for us. We have the whole story. We have the gift of eternal life in Christ. You don't want to wait to share Christ with your loved ones before it's too late, do you? I don't. And I know it's hard. Sometimes witnessing to our family members is one of the hardest people to reach. And sometimes you feel like you don't make a difference at all. But we always have to sow those seeds. Because it's better that we pour out and we suffer now in the present, even if our loved ones think that, "Well, you're just so about this Jesus. I don't know, this kind of freaks me out." But if we continue to share Christ in the way that we live, and people will take notice when we share Christ, not just words, but with our actions. When we start to help the poor around us and we give of ourselves, people will begin to see Jesus in us. And they'll be willing to listen. Amen? Amen. So I wanted to close with prayer. And we're going to have a song. And we're going to sing "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." Tia's going to start to play. But if there is someone in your life that you want to bring to this altar to pray for their salvation, or if you want to repent, or you want to come to Jesus today, there's no better time than now. I'll be right here praying at this altar, praying for all of you. If you'd like, I'd be willing to pray with you. But don't wait. Eternity in Christ, freely given to us, so that we can be generous and kind and be merciful neighbors, so that people can see Christ in us. May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in Christ, in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.